When it comes to Ben Bernanke, watch what he says and what he does.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke will be back on Capitol Hill today testifying before the Senate Banking Committee. He spent yesterday offering his assessment of the U.S. economy to lawmakers in the House Financial Services Committee. He said things are going better than expected in the job market, but that the recovery is uneven and modest. And he made no new announcements about new Fed programs to boost lending. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now live from Washington with more. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So tell us a little bit more about what exactly Ben Bernanke said.
Well, he's always very careful about what he says when he testifies before Congress. Maybe he's trying not to really say anything so he won't scare Wall Street. But as you said, it was clear he is still worried about the economy. He said, sure, things have been looking up lately, but until we see faster growth, the unemployment rate just isn't going to come down. In fact, Bernanke said he'd be surprised if the sharp drops in unemployment we've been seeing actually continue. And he said consumers are still pretty cautious.
Real household income and wealth were flat in 2011, and access to credit remains restricted for many potential borrowers. Consumer sentiment, which dropped sharply last summer, has since rebounded, but remains relatively low.
So, you know, mixed picture from the Fed chairman. What is clear is he was very cautious about what he said.
Very cautious. And of course, Wall Street watches his words, listens to his words extremely closely. There was even a stock market drop while he was talking yesterday. Why is what he says so important?
Well, he's a smart guy, Jeremy.
Right.
And he has economic data that the rest of us don't. And he has the power to change things, although it was pretty clear yesterday that the Fed is not planning another big economic stimulus program like the bond buying spree that we saw in 2010 and 2011.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe, but down across Asia this morning, up about 0.5% right now in Frankfurt. News this morning that the official unemployment rate in the 17 countries that use the euro hit 10.7% in January. That is the highest level since the euro was established in 1999. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 53 points to close at 12,952. Well, this week we've been introducing you to our new Wealth and Poverty Desk.
The American dream is shaking right now.
Top 1%.
I think we're very blessed to have what we have.
The 99%.
I've never been one to look for a handout.
Today, we're going to tackle the wealth gap, the growing concentration of wealth in our country at the top, while those in the middle and at the bottom have lost ground. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Back in 1979, the top 10% of earners took home about a third of the nation's income. By the late 2000s, half that income was flowing into their paychecks. Another way to look at it, as the economy grew, fully 80% of the increase in our incomes went to the top 1%. Everyone else, well, not doing so well, says NYU economist Edward Wolfe.
The middle class has basically been experiencing stagnating income and, it turns out, stagnating wealth as well. So the benefits of economic growth have become almost totally concentrated in the hands of the rich.
But not everyone agrees gains for the rich come at the expense of the poor and middle class. Scott Winship of the Brookings Institution told a Senate committee recently, consider Mark Zuckerberg. He could make billions off Facebook stock.
How would the typical American end up better off if Zuckerberg could not exercise those options? American inequality levels are viscerally bracing, but one still has to make the case that they are undesirable.
A lot of people are making the case for undesirable. They point to growing disparities in healthcare and education and economic mobility. Timothy Smeeding at the University of Wisconsin's Institute for Research on Poverty says a growing economy that leaves so many stuck at the middle or bottom tears at the social fabric. And he says it's getting ever harder for the have-nots to move up the ladder.
Most low-income people do not begrudge the haves. Hey, he had a smart idea. He went out and worked hard. That's great. I want my son to have the same chance. But the problem is they're increasingly realizing that their children will not have the same chance. That means the American dream is shaking right now.
The stronger job growth we've seen lately could expand the economic pie again, but few economists see the slice the rich get served up getting any smaller. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Today, one of the richest teenagers in the world turns 18. I'm talking about Justin Bieber, whose net worth is somewhere around $100 million. So when a child star becomes an adult star, what happens to the money and to the star? Sabri Benishore went looking for answers.
Actually, Justin is going to need somebody to manage his finances.
A lot's going to change for Justin Bieber when he turns 18 because he will have access to his money.
Susie Maines is a talent agent who's worked with young stars. Kids in showbiz, by law, have 15% of their earnings put into what's called a Coogan account. Nobody can touch it except the star at age 18.
Sometimes it can actually, show us who the child is.
Maine says it is no coincidence that some of the biggest celebrity meltdowns happen to child stars after they turn 18. TJ Stein is also a longtime agent. He says,
it depends on the families, it depends on how they were educated, and it depends on the kid.
For Justin and his millions, whatever happens, it'll be one heck of a birthday party. I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And finally, to a man in Brazil who tried to use a fake ID to open a bank account and got caught. Not because the ID card looked fake, but because the photo on it was that of actor Jack Nicholson. Brazilian police say there is no resemblance between the suspect, who is 41, and Nicholson, who is 74. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.